very, very sensitive subject to deal with tonight, and people will know that I'm not the most sensitive person, so I'm going to ask for God's help. Father, in the name of Jesus, we've just sung about a wonderful Lord. Amazing grace that wretches like us can be saved, that we can receive the righteousness of God because he became sin for us, taking all of our sins in his body on the tree. He is the one who is the healer of hearts, the binder of wounds. We ask tonight, Lord, please, with this subject, that you would help me, Lord God, to present your truth lovingly, sensitively, but with authority. Because, Lord, tonight there are people watching on Facebook, people, Lord God, who need your healing touch, people who need their wounds bound, people who need, Lord God, to be brought into the kingdom of God through faith in you. I can't do it. None of us can do it. But your Holy Spirit is here tonight, Lord God, and he's moving in this place, and he's moving, Lord God, in the lives of the people who are tuned in. Bring them into the kingdom, Lord, please, where they can become new creations in Christ. Help me, Lord, through your word tonight to glorify you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, this is number 14 of What in This Broken World is Happening. Last week in our subject was putting a plaster on the wrong wound. Do you remember the man who came in drunk and he fell against the television, and when the wife got out of the bed and came down, she just saw blood everywhere. It was everywhere and she didn't know what to do, so she just ran in, got a first aid kit out and put a ginormous plaster right across his forehead. And then he eventually went to bed, and she woke up half an hour later and she said it was like a scene out of The Godfather. There was blood everywhere, and she got up and went into a different room. And the next morning when he woke up, he thought he had murdered his wife because there was blood everywhere. And he went into the bathroom to try to waken himself up and took this ginormous plaster off to find that there was nothing there. And as he came out of the bathroom, the wife came out of the spare bedroom. And he says, "Oh my goodness, I'm glad to see you. I thought I had murdered you." And he says, "What did you put a plaster on my head for?" And she says, "Well, there was just so much blood." She says, "I didn't know where to put it." She says, "I just stuck it there thinking that will help." He says, "I cut my wrist." So she had put the plaster on the wrong wound. And I was saying that no matter what great advances that mankind makes, and we were looking at, you know, landing on the moon last week, 50 years of the anniversary of the moon landing. Whether it's advances like moon landings or maybe going to Mars or other technological or medical or social progress, it will never change the fact that we live in a broken world. We all have a responsibility to make a difference for good in the world. But if we think that our actions, no matter how good they might be, if we think our actions or the good actions of others will fix it, we are like those who put a plaster on a wrong wound. This world, ladies and gentlemen, is terminally ill. It's dying, and there is no cure for it. Don't be surprised when you hear me telling you, even God can't fix it. Even God can't fix it. However, we saw last week from Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18 that broken people who live in the broken world can be fixed. The Lord says, "Come, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow." Broken people can come to Jesus just as they are and ask him to cleanse them from their sin and save them from the coming wrath of God against all sin. The Lord doesn't take the old broken sinner and just patch them up. You know, if you break a vase and you try to put all the bits together again with super glue, God doesn't do that with the broken sinner, like putting a plaster on the wrong wound. Jesus takes those who humbly come to him in faith and makes them new creations, giving them abundant everlasting life. Now, those who know us will think, well, he doesn't look very much like a new creation, still very much the same old Taddy Gordon, but I'm still the same old Taddy Gordon who lives in a sin-cursed body in a sin-cursed world. But God's word says, I am being changed from glory to glory, and that's what counts. The world is broken and it can't be fixed. Anything that we do to try to better ourselves without dealing with our sin is equivalent to putting a plaster on the wrong wound. Only Jesus can make us whole. Only Jesus can make us new. Well, I mentioned a few weeks ago something that I also highlighted last week about the high suicide rate in Northern Ireland. Mark, can you just take that slightly down? It's just in my ears, and I don't think it's affecting anybody else. But the Mental Health Foundation and the Royal College of Psychiatrists found that more people died from suicide in Northern Ireland after the Good Friday or the Belfast Agreement than during the Troubles. And with Northern Ireland also having the highest suicide rate in the whole of the United Kingdom. Do you hear that? Now, these are the top people within the mental health work and within the mental health field. The Royal College of Psychiatrists, they found that more people died from suicide in Northern Ireland after the Good Friday or the Belfast Agreement than during the Troubles, and that Northern Ireland has the highest suicide rate in the United Kingdom. Mental health problems are not uncommon and can affect anyone, with statistics showing 1 in 4 people in Northern Ireland experience a diagnosed mental health problem every year. Do you hear that? 1 in 4 people in Northern Ireland experience a diagnosed mental health problem every year. And so our topic tonight on what in this broken world is happening is mental illness. Turn, please, if you have a Bible, to Psalm chapter 88. Psalm 88. I'm going to read the whole chapter. I'll do it fast. O Lord God of my salvation, I have cried out day and night before you. Let my prayer come before you. Incline your ear to my cry. For my soul is full of troubles, and my life draws near to the grave. I am counted with those who go down to the pit. I am like a man who has no strength left, adrift among the dead, like the slain who lie in the grave, whom you remember no more, and who are cut off from your hand. You have laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the depths. Your wrath lies heavy upon me, and you have afflicted me with all of your waves. You have put away my acquaintances far from me. You have made me an abomination to them. I am shut up and I cannot get out. My eye wastes away because of affliction. Lord, I have called daily upon you. I have stretched out my hands to you. Will you work wonders for the dead? Shall the dead arise and praise you? Shall your loving kindness be declared in the grave, or your faithfulness in the place of destruction? Shall your wonders be known in the dark, and your righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? But to you I have cried out, O Lord, and in the morning my prayer comes before you. Lord, why do you cast off my soul? Why do you hide your face from me? I have been afflicted and ready to die from my youth. I suffer your terrors. I am in distraught. Your fierce wrath has gone over me. Your terrors have cut me off. They came around me all day long like water. They engulfed me altogether. Loved one and friend, you have put far from me, and my acquaintances into the darkness. Sometimes when people say to me, how are you doing, Toddy? I answer, well, I'm still among the living in the land of the dead. I'm still among the living in the land of the dead. As I said, mental health problems are not uncommon, and they can affect anyone. Neither is mental illness some sort of new phenomenon that has been just suddenly visited upon us. Mental illness has been around for a very, very long time. Moses, at the end of his tether, leading the people of Israel and their constant unfaithfulness to God, asked God to blot out my life. End my life. I don't want to live. This is Moses, the greatest prophet that ever lived. A man used mightily of God, who spoke to God face to face. Blot out my life. Elijah the prophet was overwhelmed by fear in his life and by discouragement after seeing an incredible, powerful, powerful move of God. He was suddenly overwhelmed by fear and discouragement, and he suffered with depression and he ran away. Job, he lost almost everything that he had. And he was grief-stricken, overwhelmed by grief because of the loss of his loved ones. And he hated his life. He cursed the day that his mother brought him forth into the world. Jonah was a man who pleaded with God to end his life. King David frequently suffered from anxiety, from loneliness, from guilt, and from despair. Jeremiah the prophet, he struggled with rejection. He struggled with loneliness, with insecurity, and a lack of self-worth. Take the Gadarene demoniac in the New Testament. He had multiple mental health problems, including self-harm. Mental illness is not a new phenomenon. Some years ago, a group of medical professionals from Harvard Medical School published some research suggesting, among others, that Jesus and the Apostle Paul may have had psychotic symptoms associated with schizophrenia, schizoaffective disorder, manic depression, delusional disorder, and paranoia. Now, whether you're stupid enough to believe the research from Harvard or not, it doesn't change the fact that mental illness has been around a very, very long time. What's the chances, for example, when Adam and Eve sinned against God, having enjoyed that fellowship with God, when in the cool of the evening God would come down and walk with them in the garden, and then when they were duped by the evil one and gave in to the temptation and sinned, and they were banished from God's presence and banished from the garden, what's the chances that they experienced mental illness? A study carried out by the Prince's Trust in Northern Ireland, a recent study carried out by the Prince's Trust, found 44%, that's almost half, 44% of young people in Northern Ireland say that they've experienced a mental health problem. 68% revealed they always or often feel stressed, where they just can't cope anymore. 60% said they always or often feel anxious. 33% reported they always or often feel hopeless. 40% said they didn't feel in control of their lives. Mental illness is non-discriminatory and affects people of all ages, from the very young to the very elderly. I have worked with 80-year-old people who wanted to commit suicide. I have worked with 80-year-old people who came to me and talked to me about all of their affairs, and we thought we had everything sorted out, and they went that evening, and I watched the 6 o'clock news about a man's body being dragged out of the tide, and they said it was an elderly gentleman. And I phoned the police and I said to the police, was there a hat and a cane on the pier? And they said there was. And I said, I'll tell you who that man was. A man in his 80s committing suicide. Children as young as 11 in this country committing suicide. Mental illness is non-discriminatory and it affects people of all ages, but it is an illness, from the very young to the elderly. No one is immune to mental ill health. Some of us here have experienced it. I've been in Finiston House. I've been in mental health wards. Other people here have been there and come through the darkness of that. And we're not saying that we're now immune to it. We know that everyone is vulnerable. In my reading from Psalm 88, we heard the words of someone suffering with mental illness. I wonder if you've ever read that psalm before and saw that. That here is the writer of this psalm, whoever that might be, suffering from mental illness. Here is the song for the mentally ill. And look at what they're saying. They're struggling with life. They are struggling with life. It's not just a day-to-day struggle of trying to make ends meet. They are struggling with trying to live. They are crying out for help. In the psalm, they're telling us problems are overwhelming them, problems that they think are too big to overcome. They used to be able to handle these things, but they can't handle them anymore. They feel like they are being overwhelmed. They can't cope anymore. They feel weak because of this. They are broken. In the psalmist, you see it, they are broken and they believe death is inevitable. Death is going to come because they've got nothing to live for. They are basically a living funeral waiting to happen. They tell us in the psalm, whoever they are, everything or everyone they love already feels dead to them. See, when you make a decision to commit suicide, if you do it in a period where you say one day you're going to commit suicide on this date, say a week in the future, everybody that you love will die to you in that week. Much as you love them, they will die to you. You will feel like they are dead to you and you are dead to them because you have made a decision that you're going to end it all, and therefore, to stop you feeling the pain, to stop you from trying to commit suicide, you have got to kill them off. And you do that in your heart and in your mind so that it frees you, so that you are not overwhelmed with the guilt that will maybe prevent you from doing it. And this psalmist is telling that's where he's at. Everything or everyone that they loved already feels dead to them. They tell us they have a sense that they are drowning. Their life is full of darkness and gloom. Do you ever get up in the morning and you just wish to hell it was nighttime again so that you could get back into bed? And you hope that when you get into bed, that when you're going to wake up in the morning, there will be a change. And if there's not going to be a change, you hope that God in his mercy will take you in your sleep. This is where the psalmist is at. His life is full of darkness and gloom, and he sees no way out. He cannot see any glimmer of hope whatsoever. That is what mental illness can do. That is what depression can do to people. Friends don't come round anymore, he's telling us. Friends don't come round anymore, but then neither does he want them to, because in his head he thinks that his friends are fed up listening to him moaning about his situation. They're convinced that if they do go out, if they manage to go out, they're convinced that people are staring at them, that people are talking about them, that people are secretly mocking them. And of course, then they feel trapped and they feel isolated and they feel like they are imprisoned either within themselves or within their own home. Killing themselves seems like the best option. Worst of all, even God, it would seem, has abandoned them. I don't know if you've ever been in that place. I have. It's a terrible, terrible place, and I pray with all of my heart for those who experience it. It's a terrible, terrible place to be. The English preacher Charles Spurgeon put it this way: the mind can descend far lower than the body, for in it there are bottomless pits. The flesh can bear only a certain number of wounds and no more, but But the soul can bleed in 10,000 ways and die over and over again each hour. Hear that again. The mind can descend far lower than the body, for in it there are bottomless pits. The flesh can bear only a certain number of wounds, and then obviously it would die. The flesh can only bear, only a certain number of wounds and no more. But the soul can bleed in 10,000 ways and die over and over again each hour. Our world is broken and is full of broken people, many of whom suffer from mental health problems, or many of whom have yet to experience mental health problems. We all go through difficult times. We all have different challenges in life that we must face. And most of us manage, even with the help and support of others, to come through them. But for some, the difficulties and challenges they face seem insurmountable and can lead to a sense of hopelessness and despair. Charles Spurgeon is correct to say the mind can descend far lower than the body, for in it there are bottomless pits. Hear that again. The mind can descend far lower than the body, for in it there are bottomless pits. But Corrie ten Boom once said, there's no pit so deep that God's love isn't deeper still. There's no pit so deep that God's love isn't deeper still. The full quote is this: there is no pit so deep that God's love isn't deeper still. With Jesus, even in our darkest moments, the best remains, and the very best is yet to be. Isn't that beautiful? With Jesus, even in our darkest moments, the best remains, and the very best is yet to be. The Lord can heal the brokenhearted and those suffering from mental illness. He draws near, his word tells us, to the brokenhearted and to the crushed in spirit. He does not despise them. He loves them. He knows what people are going through. Even when you think that God has abandoned you, he hasn't. Perhaps tonight you're facing difficulties and challenges in your life at this time. Perhaps you think your problems are too big to overcome and you see no way out. Maybe you're feeling trapped or isolated. Or maybe you think death is the answer. Whatever you're going through, whatever difficulties or challenges you face, know this, that people do care about you. People do love you, and you are of great value and are greatly loved by God. You do not have to face the darkness and gloom alone. Do you know something? It's okay to not be okay. It's okay to not be okay, but it's not okay to try to get through it on your own. You should talk to someone. But listen to what Jesus has to say to you. If you're feeling that sense of what the psalmist is trying to put across this evening, listen to what Jesus says to you. This is the message of the Lord Jesus Christ to you tonight. He says this: come to me. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That is the message of Jesus to those in despair tonight. That is the message of Jesus to those who are suffering from depression tonight. That is the message of Jesus to those who are suffering from mental health issues tonight. That is the message of Jesus to all people tonight. "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Whatever burdens you're carrying, whatever difficulties and challenges you're facing, Jesus can give you rest. There's no pit so deep that God's love for you isn't deeper still. There is no pit so deep that God's love for you isn't deeper still. With Jesus, even in our darkest moments, the best remains, and the very best is yet to be. Mental health problems are not uncommon and can affect anyone, Christian and unbeliever alike. Mental illness is non-discriminatory and affects people of all ages, from the very young to the elderly. But you do not have to suffer alone. Our world is broken and it can't be fixed, but you can. Come to Jesus. Give your burden to him and you will find rest for your soul. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we live in a broken world, as you know. You came into it. You know what it's like. And we're all broken people. And so many, Lord God, are suffering from mental anguish, mental illnesses. So many, Lord God, are believing that their problems are insurmountable and that the only way out is death. Lord, we wouldn't want to make light of what people are going through. We wouldn't want to say, Lord God, that their problems aren't big. But you're a big God. And you're more than able, Lord God, to lift that burden from them. Your invitation is the same today. To all who are facing challenges, all who are struggling with issues in their lives, all who feel even abandoned by you, O God, you still say, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Tonight, Lord, may people take a hold of that promise. May they come to you, Lord God, and may they find rest for their souls. In your precious and glorious name, amen.